the journey to be here today. That's what one of the things I like to remind the welcome team is there is sometimes a very great journey to get from home to church. And it may only be across the parking lot. It may be just a couple blocks. It may be a couple miles. But all sorts of things can battle in our spirit to get there, right? To get us here, no matter how bad we want to. I've been going to church for almost my whole life. And there has been great battles in my spirit sometimes to get me there. To the point where I would just rather sit at home and cry than be alone than go to church. There's times where I've lost that battle, and there's times where I have decided, hey, I'm going to go, even though I don't want to, been blessed by doing that. We do have an enemy of our soul that wants us to miss out. We say, sometimes around here, we say we don't want to self-select out. So thank you for making it here. I recognize the battle that might have been fought to do that. And what's amazing, I also recognize that on a different day, it might have been the thing that you needed more than anything else and you couldn't wait to get here. So I recognize that those two things can happen in the same person, maybe even on the same morning. So thank you for being here. My week to get here was also a kind of different. At work this week, I got sprayed in the face with a very caustic material that a pipe ruptured on something else I wasn't working on, and I was standing there, and I got sprayed right in the face with this chemical that will eat your skin off. Like, it literally will eat your skin. If it would have gotten on my eyes, most likely I would have lost vision, and still a little shaken up about that, shaken up by the fact that it was so close to being really bad, and so many things had to already go wrong for that to happen, that, you know, that I'm still a little shaken up by that. I still have a mark on my face. I still have probably some skin that's going to peel, and my neck has got a little tender. But the victory in that was that as I was at work, normally I wear safety glasses a lot of times. I hadn't been wearing them for the past couple days because I hadn't been doing jobs that I felt like I needed them. But that day, I was prompted that I should get new safety glasses and be wearing them. And so an hour before I got sprayed, I had put brand new safety glasses on and had all my other protective gear on, and I was close to a shower. I ran to the shower, got medical treatment, and am not horribly scarred, so you can still stand to look at me. I didn't even know that I was going to need to be in that space. I wasn't even aware that those emotions and that processing those things was going to be a deal. And I didn't know the part of that deal was my dad was involved. He was also injured and involved in just making a mistake that would cause that to happen, actually. A lot of emotions associated with that. A lot of things that you aren't necessarily ready for, didn't even know were a thing that you're going to have to deal with. God does that with us. I hope through today that we recognize that he does that with us, and to bring us to this point of thank you, Jesus, for being who you are and for letting me see. To see you and to see how you see me. So I'm really thankful for my vision today. And I'm really thankful to be able to see you. As we were worshiping, I turned around and we're praising for the things that we're thankful for. And I turned around and I looked at you. And I said, that's why I come to church. I come to church to worship the Lord, but and to see you guys worship and connect with the Lord. That is such a blessing to me. So know that your presence here is powerful to somebody besides you. So thank you for that. We've been in this, we've just started this series. Last week, Andy walked us through some Old Testament passages about how the Word reveals Christ. And when we're talking about the Word, they weren't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because those guys hadn't even written that yet. They weren't using Revelation. They weren't using Timothy where we are today. They were using Old Testament scriptures. And Andy kind of helped us walk through those stories of who Jesus was and the excitement that was building because he was coming. So if we can throw that 2 Timothy chapter 3 passage up there, I would like to read it together. I'd really like to read it together a couple times. I would like it to sit in our hearts, become something that we can know that we know. Not just, yeah, I know that passage. No, I know that passage. It's deep in my heart. So if we could start here at, can we switch over to the message? Is that too hard? Switch over to the message. Where it says, there's nothing like the written word of God. Be verse 14. What's that? Yeah. So there is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful for one way or another, for showing us the truth, for exposing our rebellion, for correcting our mistakes, for training us to live and love God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. So if we found that, if you guys would, I'll read that again, but this time I want to hear you guys read it too. So if you can read along, like I want to be able to not hear myself, I want to hear you guys, okay? So there is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So there's like a plan there. Andy showed us salvation, and we've been talking about that salvation space, and today I just get three words. That's all I get. I get three words to talk about. Showing us truth. Showing us truth. Sometimes the truth that we're shown is not what we expected to see. And sometimes it's something we desperately needed. So we'll spend some time looking at that together. But that journey of showing us your truth, like I was nearly blinded. I was nearly blinded. It still makes me nauseous. Thank you, God, that I listened to go get some safety glasses. Seems simple, but super thankful for that. Didn't know that was what was going to happen. I didn't know that was what my heart, my body, I didn't know that's what I needed. Scripture is like that, showing us the truth. I've been in church a long time. There's been lots of things that I thought I knew. Lots of things that were super important to me at one point, and then something changed. And I had to work through these things that God was revealing in my heart. I don't want to tell you that that's always an easy journey as God reshapes us. But that's what this scripture is, that it through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. And if you're walking with Jesus, we know that He brings good things into our life. Every good thing comes from Him. So He shapes us up to do something that will be a blessing to us, no matter how difficult it might be. Because the other option, we see this word truth, and I want us to kind of broaden our idea about that truth. That word is used and is translated a few different ways. It's often translated teaching. It's translated doctrine. Often these are church words. But it really conveys the idea of an idea, like a perspective on things. That we have a perspective that we think is right and good, and maybe it is, and maybe it's not. And Holy Spirit, I'm open to you adjusting that in me. Adjusting the way, for me, one of the main adjustments had to be how I saw myself. I grew up as a church kid, and a church kid in the 90s had purity culture driven into us. The books were I Kiss Dating Goodbye. I remember that being one of the first books I read as a teenager. Anybody there know that book? I got a couple pure, you know, that like, man, if you kiss your girlfriend before you get married, before you say I do, there's something wrong with you. Purity culture. I mean, there's some great truth that was taught in that purity culture, but also the shame that could have just came right along with it was maybe more powerful. Had to unpack all that. Had to unpack all that as friends didn't follow the guidelines in the book, we'll say, and the awkward space that is. And what's the truth there? The truth is God wants us to be full of life. He came that you may have life and have life abundantly. If you are reading the word and it is not bringing life to you, there's a disconnect, we'll say. There's a disconnect. So when we read this, we're looking for Jesus, who is the life giver, the author of life. In John, we're told that the word does what? Becomes something. The word became flesh and it dwelt among us. The power of Jesus is not only in the power of his story of death and resurrection, but it goes all the way back to the beginning. And the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were created. This story of Jesus is big. So if you hear me say you're the first person that needs to hear the gospel today, that's a big story. I don't want to underplay how big that story is. And there's a part of it that you need to hear every day. So for me, it was this, I am not worthy. I'm definitely not worthy to be right here on a stage sharing the gospel with you guys. Like, I'm not worthy for that. I'm not even sure that I'm worthy to share it with you as an individual. God, why would you lay on my heart to be in church leadership? I'm not worthy of that. I mean, I've looked at things I shouldn't look at and thought about things I shouldn't thought about and said things I shouldn't have said, and I haven't done what I should have done, and that was the mantle that I put on myself of this. I am not only unworthy, but I am rejected. We say around here, don't self-select out, because that's what that battle is. So the amazing thing of the truth is that we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. This is the work of the truth, as we are being transformed into the image of Christ. Because the other option, we see this word, this truth word here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, get them out, be ready, you're going to need them in a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. Because those days where you're like, man, I am just I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, I got these feelings of I just barely survived. I don't deserve to be here. Man, I did really good today. Look at all this stuff I'm doing. Everybody should be so proud of me. How come nobody tells me how proud of me they are? And we flip-flop and we're tossed to and fro, and Ephesians talks about this. We ready for it up there? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you need the verse? Let's start with verse 10, maybe. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, okay. He who descended is one who also ascended. We're talking about Jesus, that he gets us. He has been in the dark places. He came from the heavenly places. He ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If I read that, I could go like, whoa, I am way far from that. And I self-select out. And I say, I can't, I'm not ready, can't do it. I can't walk in those shoes. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, this is where I want us to be. Because we can get tossed to and fro. Anybody else get tossed to and fro in your own brain? Like, you are tossing yourself to and fro. Like, I should do this, and I feel bad about that, but I wanted to do this, and man, I am just miserable. I just need to be out of here. You should read Paul, and if you're in that boat, you should read some Paul. He knows what that's like. But we can get tossed to and fro. Well, so and so said, that may be powerful for you. You may get on Facebook and be tossed to and fro. We want to move from that. And here's what we're moving to. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the purpose of the Word of God. Both the written Word of God and the incarnate Word of God. That we would be knit together and realize we bear the image of the Creator. And that means an infinite God has infinite personalities. So you don't have to be a balding middle-aged man to be created in his image and to bear his image. You might think that way by sometimes who's on the stage, but that's not the case, okay? You don't have... You don't have to be what maybe you thought you needed to be. And I'm so thankful for my wife, who has been a partner into a new journey as I now live with children. Some of you have lived with children for a long time. I have not. I have worked with children but not lived with them. That is different. Very different. And there is it's a different kind of blessing, right? Because working with children is great, and they make you laugh, and you can turn on the light and make them be aware, and that is so exciting, right? That's the teacher role. the youth pastor role. Most people who teach don't have those kids live with them. And that's a new level of blessing and amazement. And it gets to show me without a doubt that God created different personalities, different talents, different skills, different desires, different struggles, different. He's got more colors than we can imagine. And we are all created in His image. That is a mystery. How are we all transformed into the image of Christ when we're all seems like we're coming from so many different places? He's big enough to do that. He's big enough to do that. So when I look around, that's what I said. When I look around, we're praying and worshiping, and I look around this room, that is a huge blessing to me. To know that we're coming from different places. We have different stories. We have different desires. We have different talents. We have different skills. But we're all created in God's image. All being challenged by the truth in different ways. And it takes us knitted together, letting the truth expose us and transform us. The bigger that picture gets, the closer we get to representing the God who created us. Who's infinite, who's got the creativity to paint a mountain scene with light from 93 million miles away, with stars in the background that blow our minds. To be able to raise up plants that can be medicinal and you can cook with them and they taste good. Blow my mind. To be able to create us, to be able to have this interaction with words and have a spiritual connection that we don't understand. I don't know how that works. And we get to do this journey together. In my house, we talk about the three areas of your life that you have this battle happens, this battle for the truth and what's right, and we want God to be revealed, and there's three areas that we fight in. First one is physical. Sometimes it's my physical battle that is the loudest. Because I am tired. I'm tired because I'm not eating well or I'm not sleeping well, but my physical body is tired and I'm grumpy and somebody is invading my space and I don't know what to do. Usually, if it's in the physical battle, there's two other levels that we've lost in. The second is this idea, these words that we fight that battle with words. And it's the language of our mind, the things that we think and the things that we say, and we fight this battle with words, and we learn how to communicate, and we learn how to hopefully communicate life to one another. And we have this battle, and sometimes that results in angry screaming, and there's a screaming match that then turns into what? When we lose the battle of the argument, we might result to the battle of the physical. And there's pushing, and there's shoving, and there's running away and selecting out. But the top level is where I hope that you realize that you're in training today, is that spiritual level. There is a spiritual level to the battles that we fight, where things like joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit all dwell, and they all come in that space. So as God works in these truths in us, He's working in all three. He's letting us change how we actively behave, the physical battle. And He's shaping how we think about those things and how we communicate them to one another as we battle and submit in the spiritual. So those three things, I want you to think about that as we turn to the middle of the book. Or it's really the chapter next to the middle of the book. So the very middle chapter of the book is in Psalms. So find your Psalms. Songs to the Lord. Gonna make you get a little active here in the Word. So, like, seriously, I'm get your books out, get your phones out. I'm gonna give you just a second to do that. I'm gonna keep saying it till I start seeing it happening. The very middle chapter in the scripture is Psalm 118. It's preceded by the very shortest chapter in the book, 117, and followed by the longest chapter in the whole Bible, Psalm 119, which I'm going to read for you now. No, actually, you're going to read some of it for me. As we do this training and let God show us the truth in a way that exposes who we are, it might also expose who we hope to be. It may reveal something to us that we didn't even know we needed. Because as I'm thinking about the Word of God showing us truth, there's an old, I don't think it's that old, but thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, when I'm afraid, it's one of those that I default to when I'm having a rough time. Maybe not one you're familiar with, but one that I default to. That passage comes from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is full of things that our heart needs and we might not even realize that it needs. So I want you guys to take an opportunity to participate in the message. There is more verses than there are people in the room. So there should not be any argument over who gets what. Verses in this chapter than there are people in the room, so you can all have your own. But I want you to look through there. It shouldn't take very long. You can start anywhere. And God wants you to see something that you want, that you need, that maybe you already have that you're not thankful for. If you find it and are willing, stand up, and I'd like you to read it. Share it. And it might be something as simple as this. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. I read that, and there are days when I feel like, man, everything is just falling apart, and life feels like it's slipping through my fingers, and I'm clinging to dust. Give me life according to your word. So as you, we're going to take a couple minutes, like literally just a couple minutes. Scan through there. Remember, there's like 175 verses, so don't start, everybody start at verse 1. Some of you skip ahead and look at verse 50. Look at verse 100. Something in there God has for you this morning. So open it up. What do you see? Yeah. So Kelly says, I pray that will be true of me. You found that to be true. I want that to be true for me. I want that to be true for her. What else? There's something in there that you're hungry for. We got a long way to go. Before I was afflicted and I went astray. Man, there's a lot of perspective there. Set my heart free, the path of your command. Some of that will be a life journey. Because that's how big God is. Who else? Marita looks like she's got one. I'll walk about in freedom because I've sought out your precepts. God, I want your ideas. I know you are the God that frees me. Does anybody want that? Is that what we're hungry for as we let the truth expose what we're hungry for? Front row, somebody had something. Sarah, is that you? So I've hoped in the Word. Freedom from fear, hope in the Word. Hi, Daisy. Let the truth touch your heart. It might be showing you something that you've never seen. I did not know. Actually, I'm going to take that back. At work, I had this feeling somebody was going to get hurt. That something was going to happen, something was going to be overlooked, and somebody was going to get hurt. I did not think it was going to be me. I certainly did not think it was going to be me when I went and got new safety glasses. God's truth starts working in us, and we start listening to Him, and it shapes us, protects us, gives us perspective that we didn't have. What other perspectives? Anybody else? There's a perspective there that you're hungry for. I don't want to talk about that one. That's hard. And life-giving. As our eyes all of a sudden change what we're looking at, it also changes what we're seeing in the same things we're looking at. Because what was hard becomes a blessing. What was just a job becomes a source of relationships and a source of ministry and a source of mission. When we let God's truth be exposed in our hearts, show us truth, but why? We can't disconnect the why of these truths. Can't disconnect it from where we're going. Can we go back quickly to the Timothy passage? Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. Shaped up for the tasks God, we are put together. God is, He wants to equip us. And He wants us to be equipped to have life. So Jesus' life is this powerful story. When I say, tell yourself the gospel, remember, there's so much to that. Jesus' story is, I'm going around to places where nobody of any kind of reputation would dare go. I'm going to go to Samaria and see people that we're going to take the long way around just to avoid looking at. I'm going to take my leaders to places that evil and death dominate. And I'm going to do a healing by this pagan pool and change somebody's life and change the life of the people that person touches. We're being shaped up into this Jesus who can walk in places, and not only is His peace not interrupted, but He delivers peace to others. That's your mission. That's our mission. That's my mission. To let these truths touch us and let us realize that we are all uniquely created by God to be a deliverer. When we talk about the ministry of reconciliation, that's what you're doing. You are delivering the peace of God to the ends of the earth. That's really special that you can do that, that I can do that, that you can do that for me. Got a really quiet audience. Anybody else got some psalm that's touching? I mean, don't want to miss out on that. Gwen? something that you feel like is true of you? Does it always feel like it's true of you? Something we grow into, right? But it's been there. Sam? Ooh. It's a different perspective, isn't it? It's a shift in how you see yourself and how others see you. And who does that? Jesus does that for us. And we get to do that for others. So there's someone in your life. It may be you. Maybe you. Maybe your kids. Maybe a coworker. Maybe a parent. Who is back there in Ephesians 4. And they are tossed to and fro. They are beat up by what they read and what they see and what they feel. I picture this pole. This image that, as I've been thinking about this message, this image of this like a flagpole. And it's just standing there. But somebody's hanging. Maybe that's me hanging onto it. And I'm being flicked around, thrown back and forth as I'm hanging onto this pole. And it looks painful, but the pole's not moving. This is available. Change us to become that pole for others. Gwen is that. Gwen, you're that pole for others. I don't know if you know that. That you have that stability for others to come as you hang on to Jesus. And it's not just Gwen in this room that does that. So as we hang on to each other, we're knit together as we get to see Jesus' truth as he writes it on our hearts and transforms us into his image to be his representatives. And I'm so thankful that of all the complex personalities that are in this room. Because there are places and people and expressions of who God is that I can't yet imagine. Because he is an infinite God. And he wants you to express those things and make him look amazing. Because he is. So we are being transformed. The word may be scary to you. There is a ton of value in the word search, right? I just did where's this Bible word used all through Scripture? My friend is in the room and he loves doing that. Super valuable. If that's your heart, do it. Encounter Jesus that way. There's also people who are fearless when it comes to meeting new people. I've lived with some. I have friends with others. Makes me uncomfortable as all get out, let me tell you. I don't have anything to offer that person. And I need you to tell me that's a lie. Because that's your gift. It's not mine, it's yours. God is showing us truth through one another as we are shaped into the image of Christ. That's what the mission is. That's why these things are important. Connected to Christ. Let me be connected to him and let him write my heart and my story. And connected to others because I need you. Without you, I'd be the guy who lived alone, hated himself, probably would have killed himself. We can go into those details over coffee sometimes if you want. But it's this journey that says, let who God made us become full, that we're transformed into the fullness of Christ. That is the mission of the Word, of the written Word and the incarnate Word. It is designed for you to be the amazing creation that you are. thank you for being here and letting me see just a glimpse of that. Someday we get to spend eternity together, and maybe we get to see it all. Stories that you haven't yet told, talents that you've not yet revealed, and some of those that you've yet to discover for yourself. May God open your heart to know that you are being transformed by the truth of the word into something beautiful and amazing that is already in you. Thank you, Jesus, for having patience with me as it happens. May I have patience with everybody else also. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here. Lord, we praise you for the patience you have with us. When we feel like what you say doesn't apply to us because we don't qualify, when we think we don't need to hear your voice because we're good to go, when we feel so beat up that it doesn't seem like anything matters, and Lord, it's your Son who reaches, it's you, it's your incarnate word, your Son who reaches into our hearts and says, you matter, I love you, I died for you, and I have a mission for you that you are gonna love. Let us say yes to you. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you and to share you and to be used even when I've been wrong. It's amazing that you would use me. I'm still baffled. The only thing I can do is say thank you. Amen.
So I just want to have Jeremy's heart most of the time for how much he's connected to joy in who Jesus is and the Word of God and love. That's why I ask him to talk to us about the Word of God. And next week, Kelsey's going to talk to us about the Word of God. And that's why she's going to be standing up here. And in just a few weeks after that, Deli is going to do it. And that's why he is going to be standing up here. And it is accessible. Did you see what happened today when we broke from the normative preaching model and you were invited to find Psalm 119 and sit in it? Did you see what happened? And you saw it maybe connect with other people. You might have had one that you didn't express, but then all of a sudden you're like, that's... it's feeding to me. Let me tell you how this is. This isn't like open your Bible and like close your eyes and throw a dart. Okay? I've had that happen. I've had it. I told you last week, I opened my Bible and bam, the Lord spoke directly to me, foundationally to me. But the whole idea here is that we being humanity zillion years ago, we were in relationship with God. And then it got all jacked up. That's it. The effort of the Lord through his word and his voice and his speaking is to restore that. That's the deal, to restore that. That's what we're going for here. I joke around, I'm like, we're not reading the Bible to win when we get called to Jeopardy. That's not the point. The point is this restoration. So, just as you saw today, you were directed to a passage. For some, it was familiar. For some, it was not familiar. For some, you saw something right away. Hey, let me tell you something real quick, and then we'll head out of here. I say it all the time, frankly. Most of us judge ourselves based on what we know about us and what we don't know about other people. Let me say it to you again. We judge ourselves based on what we know about us, usually our failures, and what we don't know about other people, their struggles. So I appreciate that some folks have approached me in the past as if I open the word, my feet begin to elevate from the earth, and light fills the room. Like, that happens every time. It does not, in fact, happen every time. It doesn't happen most of the time. But it happens. And there are moments just like, think of the intensity of a relationship that you've been in. If you have a lifelong relationship with someone, particularly a spouse, there are really intense moments that are yee-haw, and there are really intense moments that are dear God, and there's a lot of dull in between, and some long road trips where nobody's talking. Like, there's just all of that going on, and this is not that much different. It is relational. And there are these moments that are lightning bolts. And there are moments that are whispers. And there are moments that are silence. Every prayer you prayed gets answered. We only talk about the ones that we get a yes on. He hears them all. Yeah, that's the relational piece. So my encouragement for you is find a space where you can just get in the Bible. And if you're not sure where, come and talk to me. Like, get me today. Stop me today. Ask somebody. You're going to ask me, where should I start? I'm going to say, well, where are you? Tell me where you are. Give me a little info. And we'll try to guide it. And then we trust that the Lord guides it. And, ready, last thing, when you're in the Word of God, share that with somebody else. Like, just share it with them. The number of devotions, I said last thing, sorry, lied. The number of devotions that Melinda and I have done through the years together, personally, the two of us, I bet not five. I bet we haven't done five. We've been married for 33 years. I bet we have not done five formal devotions together like that every day, husband, wife, sit down. We just haven't done that. However, what we have done is that we talk to each other about what we're reading in the Word. We just live on different clocks. I get up early. She's not talking till 10. I go to bed at 10 p.m. She doesn't go to bed till 2. We just don't see each other that much to sit around and talk about it, right? But we do talk about those things through the day. And that has been rich for us. And so if you have that with someone close, please, please just start that up. Maybe a friend. Maybe someone just even in here. Like, start that up. This is what I was reading. And you just share that. I promise you it's going to be powerful. Would you stand with me? Thank you for being here today. Lord, may your blessing rest on this church community. We're thankful for your grace. And go in grace and peace to love and serve him. Amen.